Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Tuesday, 23rd of February, 2021, and we are seeing a lot more activity in markets, a lot more volatility. Quite a session yesterday in the U.S. The broader market average, the S&P 500, for example, still above its 21-day moving average. Didn't look like a particularly impressive day, but we're seeing the speculative corner of the market and even some of the big tech names in the NASDAQ 100, for example, as you can see on slide two, in for a very bad session. Several hundred points down, well through the 21-day moving average. Peter, take us through your impression of the day, and you've got your great little table there, and you've had a few times showing the relative performance across sectors, and I guess that's where the big story is here. Are we seeing a popping of at least one part of the speculative bubble in markets?
It seems at least that the rising interest rates was the excuse to get things moving. As you can see, we talked about it yesterday. John, the green transformation obviously was already hit by the rising interest rates. They operate in the physical world. The bubble stocks were still doing okay, but then yesterday we had the breakdown in the bubble stocks, as you can see, down 6%. Also, e-commerce and next generation medicine, which are sort of the outer layers of the bubble stock segment, were also down a lot. But I'll talk more about that in a few seconds. I have another slide, sorry, another chart on slide three as well, which I posted on Twitter, and that's maybe a lead into Ole in his conversation on commodities in a few minutes. So I looked at ExxonMobil, one of the biggest oil and gas companies in the world, and it's just fascinating because we talk so much about cost of capital and the rising interest rates. I just wondered, I mean, what was the cost of capital? And it's around almost 10% for ExxonMobil, but then I was shocked to see that they haven't returned more than 10% or more than the cost of capital on their invested capital for 6 years. And I think this is not a situation that could go on forever unless it surely will create an energy shock at one point, because these oil companies, they really need a high oil price. So that's just something to think about. But John, quickly moving on to slide four. So the breakdown in the bubble stock segment, I think the nexus of all of this is the risk cluster that we talked about 2 weeks ago, where I wrote our second piece on it. We call it the Tesla Bitcoin ARK syndrome, which is the vast overlap of investors seeking the same exposure. They have the same mindset of the future, the same mindset of what's really going on, and they love Tesla, they love Bitcoin, and they love all the disruptive, so-called disruptive stocks in the ARK funds. And you can see I've put in a link there to our article, and we basically flagged a lot of the stocks. I've put in the table you can see on slide four here, the biggest position across the funds. We also have another table if you follow the link, where you can see the stocks with the where ARK owns the most of the underlying outstanding shares. Those could be coming under real pressure. And interestingly enough, you have Tesla as number one there. So the breakdown in Tesla yesterday, down almost 9%, obviously took down ARK funds, as you can see on the chart to the right side of the slide. And that was also coupled with Bitcoin. And before I move on to the next speaker, I just want to highlight, because Ole and I talked about it, it's before 2 weeks ago, we talked about what happened to Tesla when Elon Musk put on this Bitcoin position. We had Bitcoin down almost 17% intraday yesterday at the lows. And as we said, I mean, Elon Musk have introduced a lot of earnings volatility with this position, and it's bad for Tesla. And I think that's really what we are seeing now. And you must be wondering what they think in the index committee of the S&P 500. I mean, with this sudden volatile component in the index, but that's for another day and another discussion.
Yeah, so you saw one headline touting that Tesla was already earning more from its Bitcoin position than it was from its that it earned in the prior quarter. But of course, that gets disappears suddenly when Bitcoin falls $10,000. So again, the volatility is so critical there, and I think that correlation across assets is really critical stuff and something we'll look for. We're not necessarily seeing a lot of feed through into the credit space yet, if any at all. In fact, credit spread's very tight. But one interesting thing yesterday, you know, we've talked, of course, a lot recently about rising treasury yields and bond yields globally. A great chart yesterday on that note. And already here, and if you look on slide five, we have the French, for example, the French 10-year sovereign bond rising in yield from, let's call it, a moving average of around 30, 35 negative basis points to as high as about 3 basis points negative yesterday. And even that rise, still below zero, enough to elicit comments from the ECB's Lagarde that they're watching rising yields. So just incredible. Is this, or not is this, but this does seem to be a form of a shot across the bow on eventual yield curve control. But what effect does that have? And you already have, as I show on the lower right there, the most generous financial conditions and effectively in history. I'll say you're on the line too here, of course, on fixed income. What are your thoughts on what the ECB said? And take us through your a couple of slides here.
Yes, John, just to follow up on what you just said on French government bonds, the fact that even though their yield rise and they stay negative, it doesn't mean that it doesn't affect other nations. And probably when the ECB looks at the rise in yields, is looking more at the periphery, those government bonds that are still in positive. And a widening could actually tighten their economic conditions. So in slides, what is happening in the periphery? And in slide six, you have on the left the weekly move in basis points of Italian BTPs. And as you can see, last week, the Italian BTPs have widened the most since April last year. In April last year, Italy was still in a lockdown. It was just after the peak of the March pandemic. So when you look at that, it's quite easy to understand why the ECB is concerned about a rise in yields. But on the right, instead, in the other graph, you see the spread between the Spanish bonus and the Bund, and you see that just in the month of February, there was quite a substantial widening that brought them in line with the beginning of the year. So this is just to say the ECB, when it looks at the rising yields, looks more at the periphery and how a widening in their spread it can affect this country in terms of the recovery after the pandemic. But John, you will not be surprised maybe to know that today, this morning, European sovereigns are opening in red. They are selling off, and they are selling off on the basis of the Powell speech later today. And this brings me in slide number seven. We have seen 10-year Treasury yields rising the most in the past month since the 2016 election. And there is all the basis for this speech today and tomorrow from Powell to go very wrong, especially if he alludes to tightening, or there are a lot of questions regarding how the Federal Reserve can exit these particular easy economic conditions. But in slide seven, I want you to focus on the bottom chart. And as you can see there, there is a blue line and an orange line. The orange line is the VIX. And in blue instead, it's the move, so the volatility on bonds. And as you can see in the past month, while the volatility in bonds was rising, the volatility on equities was falling. So it seems that is preparing a perfect storm ahead of us in terms of rising interest rates and possibly leaking it to risky assets as well.
Yeah, and then one issue that's been critical here and we think is possibly behind some degree, besides rising yields per se, in terms of acting as a headwind against risky assets, that is the rising real yields. And you've got a couple of charts on that theme on slide eight. You're connecting it to some degree to the Treasury, the inflation protect Treasury auction of last week, of those 30 years. Just interesting to see where this is going. This really is a key metric for financial conditions, is whether real yields are rising, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that it's very important to highlight that as nominal yields are rising, real yields are rising. And this is the worrying part, because if we were in a reflation trade, in a reflation economic backdrop, then we wouldn't see real yields rising as well, because inflation expectation will rise together with nominal yields. So what is basically happening is that the cost of capital is getting higher with real yields rising. And last week, the 30-year TIPS auction was particularly weak, and it was quite surprising, because as you can see in slide 8, the TIPS, 30-year TIPS yields have been rising since February until since the beginning of February. And this has been possible despite the Fed has been aggressively buying TIPS since last year. And this is something that you can see on the chart on the right. So the big question is like, okay, the Federal Reserve is holding a lot of these TIPS and their yields is rising. Can we expect more weakness in the bond market? And I think that the answer at this point in time is yes.
All right. And then real yields, we mentioned that, Ola, in terms of the effect on the gold market. Gold, I think, really showing off its ability to, or its resilience, at least on that theme. But the commodities moves in the commodities market just actually ramping steadily elsewhere. I mean, look at copper and oil, et cetera. Where's your focus in commodities markets today and from here?
Well, it's a slightly difficult, John, because its focus is almost all over the place, because every single sector is on the move right now. I just put in slide 12 just to give an idea about the performance we've seen now for the past 6 months. And you see the only couple of commodities that are still in the red is gold and natural gas, but the strong rallies across the board. And I put into the slide as well, it is the vaccine optimism leading to growth sprint, stimulus, reflation, tightening supply, and green transformation. These are all just adding up to a sector which is has suddenly returned back to received a lot of attention and also attracting a lot of new investment demand. We can see that on, I'll just highlight as an example, an ETF that tracks the Bloomberg Commodity Index, and you can see how this very strong rally has taken back to some of the highs we had back in 2016 and 2018. So it's really on the move. But you mentioned real yields and gold, and I think it's probably just worth mentioning that gold was probably the first victim of the rising real yields recently, but now it's starting to catch on or receive attention elsewhere as well, especially in the stock market, as Peter mentioned. So the fact that gold has actually been managing to climb from these critical important support levels last week, I think it's due to a safe haven bid starting to come into the market. Just note that we got option expiry today, so we are unlikely to see the gold move too far away from the 1800 strike level, and that has left silver in a position to do some outperformance here in the short term. And just finally, it's getting a long one, but I just want to highlight another sector where we haven't seen much in action recently, but where really is starting to suddenly broke out again yesterday, and that's in the soft sector, where the where Brazil weather developments are supporting both sugar and coffee. We had dry weather in the Q4, and now we've got a deluge of rain, and that's basically potentially hurting the outlook for the coffee production. So coffee is on the move. It's been one of the laggards recently. Sugar continues to move higher. It's near the highest level in 2017.
All right, and then in FX, some interesting moves, but some rather muted ones in some cases, and ones that don't really track what we've seen in terms of cross-market correlations recently. Just want to point out that Eurodollar is in a really pivotal spot. You can see that on slide 9, or when you pull up your Eurodollar chart, that those highs just sub 122, really pivotal for a attack on the highs for the cycle there above 123. Or coming back lower. A bit surprised to see euro as bid as it was, given those ECB comments yesterday. And obviously, Powell comments will be absolutely critical today. I think, as Althea noted, any comments on tightening of policy, I think even simply saying we're not concerned about bond yields at this time would be a dramatic signal relative to expressing some form of concern. I think markets across the board are going to be twitchy on Fed comments today around yields, if any. I'm not sure that the political side is really on the ball in terms of market moves here, is more interested in their political agenda. But do watch for that. It's a long testimony. It's a prepared statement. And then we have it both today and tomorrow. And then just want to note on slide 9 as well, Dolly Yin, with that reversal, that really strong reversal yesterday, really kind of neutralizing the whole up move there, begins to follow through if we drop below 105 and especially 104.50. So watching there as well for the relative strength in the crosses. And then elsewhere, the dollar really just tracking, for example, an Aussie dollar just tracking commodities prices. And interesting to see it ignoring risk sentiment. I find that a bit hard to stomach in a lot of ways, but I think eventually if we continue to see weak risk sentiment, the commodities could be in for some two-way volatility there. And then you would see exceptional sensitivity to any sudden weakness in commodity prices. And then my final point on FX, and I think it's an interesting one, an interesting setup we have going into tonight's RBNZ meeting for New Zealand, where we are looking at an exchange rate for the Kiwi that has been just going vertical since the pandemic lows, especially that big leg in late 2020. And now we have new highs, as you can see, on Kiwi dollar. And in the crosses, really, the trade weighted Kiwi. I suspect the RBNZ is going to start getting a bit sterner in their rhetoric against too strong a Kiwi. One way to do it is by trading, for example, a put. And I put in an example there. So next week, 72.85 strike, 34 pips with a strike price around, or sorry, with the spot trading around where you can see on the chart, 73.20. So not saying that it will drop, not saying that it'll be successful, but if we're continuing to see risk off and a bit of contagion that's spreading across the board, and we see the RBNZ out there moving against a stronger exchange rate, it could be an interesting cocktail for that currency pair. Earnings, Peter, you did a good preview yesterday of everything this week, but anything specifically today you want to highlight?
No, it's. I think we should keep it short today. So just a brief remark. We had HSBC reporting earnings, very strong. It was up 6% in Hong Kong. It's a little bit down or a little bit more flat now. I don't know what comments on the conference call that actually drove that, but I actually think it was a pretty decent result from HSBC. And today we have Home Depot before the market opens. I think they will post pretty strong results. And then Square is interesting because of the ARK positions. I think Square is number 3 or 4 of the biggest holdings across all their funds. So that one is reporting after the market close. Obviously quite interesting given what took place yesterday in equities and ARK funds. That's it.
Definitely worth watching. And then again, the highlight for today on the macro calendar, slide 14, we have Powell out speaking today and tomorrow. Do watch out for the Bank of Canada's governor as well speaking, and then the RBNZ up in late hours tonight. As I discussed earlier, that's a wrap for the day. We'll be back tomorrow to see how things shake out. Stay careful out there. We've been highlighting our concerns about risk appetite, risk sentiment, especially in the equity market, and some of that coming to fruition here, the volatility. So stay careful out there, and we'll see where things stand tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.